Well, go baby, 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 baby, won't you come out tonight?
Well, baby, hey everyone, welcome to Matt Dory's Excellent Adventure. I'm Matt.
I'm Dory.
Here we are. We're one adventure in to the next adventure.
Yep, that's right.
Well, look, banner week here on the pod. People say that, right?
I don't know. Do we say that?
Hi, welcome to the pod, Banner Weeks. What if we had a pod called Banner Weeks and it was just about like their best weeks ever? Oh yeah, VHO. A show called Best Week Ever.
Uh-huh.
Never mind.
Wow.
Idea has been done.
And how?
Ad nauseum.
Yep.
Wasn't Kate on Best Week Ever?
Yeah, she worked for... No, she wasn't on Best Week Ever. She worked for VH1 for a long time.
Yeah, but that's a VH1 show.
I know, but she didn't work on Best Week Ever.
I disagree. Ask her.
Okay, go ahead.
I mean, should I text her right now?
No, I've asked... I've also had this confusion, and I asked her this.
What?
She said she did not work
on
Best
Week
Ever. Is this
on the other pod you've said this?
I don't know.
Or is this like an off-air conversation?
It might have been IRL.
Wow. You guys talk in real life. That's so cool.
I know.
Unlike us.
I probably do talk to Kate more than I talk to you.
I don't doubt it. I mean, I talk to myself more than I talk to me. What? That doesn't make any sense.
I mean, Kate's better at responding to texts.
But yes, 100%.
So. There you go.
Here we are. Speaking of responding to texts.
What?
I have no segue whatsoever. We went to Dr. Kelly Beck again, everybody. Oh, I don't have my air horns. Boy, if I had my air horns.
Wait, why don't you have your air horns?
Well, I just, because we're not, I'm not set up for that right
now.
Oh,
I see.
Oh, I can be. We went to Dr. Kelly Beck again. Yep, it was off the hook. Oh, that's too loud. Let's bring that down. Let's bring that up. Okay, so, Dory, what's our report?
Well...
Oops, sorry, everybody. Okay. I'll tell you what, though. When we saw that embryo, it was like... Because that's what the embryo seemed like it wanted to be doing.
Yeah, okay, so we did our embryo transfer on Friday. Now, I feel like some people might be like,
2 days
whoa,
ago.
Wait a second. That all happened really fast.
And it sure did.
It kind of did, and it also was like very low-key. Like, I only... saw Dr. Kelly Beck twice before the transfer, and the last time was a week before the transfer, like at my last appointment, you know, a week ago. She was like, all right, well, see you next week. And I was like, yeah. Oh, whereas I feel like on other transfers I had to like check in more, but I feel like now she's like her uterus is like a well-oiled machine. Like, I know what's gonna happen.
Yeah, but also like she's also seemingly more involved with the retrievals, like, you know, like that's like a whole thing of like, gotta come in, we're gonna check you every 2 days,
right? No,
make sure you're on the protes.
But I definitely feel like in previous transfers there was more monitoring, and look, I am all for less monitoring.
Honey, you 100% had less night terrors this round.
Yeah, because I'm just feeling way more chill about it.
Oh, wow. What,
I know.
What has brought this moment of zen?
I think because I am truly fine with either outcome.
Interesting.
Like, I would really like Henry to have a sibling, but mm-hmm. like, if it doesn't work, we have Henry.
Yes, a tyrant.
A tiny tyrant who will only get more spoiled if he doesn't have a sibling.
Oh, no. A tiny tyrant. You know, I think all of you listening are familiar with the fact that last year we moved into a slightly bigger place that had a yard-ish and a pool, small pool. Literally a small, it's like 14 feet by 24. We
and
measured
it. Somehow takes up most of the yard.
We measured it. It's very small. But anyway, and you know that, you know, the pandemic happened 3 weeks after we moved in. And then I went in the pool twice last year.
I went in a few more times.
Yeah. But now, because of the tiny tyrant, I've been in the pool... I mean, I've been in it 4 times in the last 7 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. And today it was freezing. And he didn't care.
No.
And we went in and had a time that he demanded.
I mean, you do get like nice bonding time.
No, with him. It's great hanging out with him, but it's freezing in there.
Yeah, well, that's why we got like, the things.
He demands it.
He does.
It's very, he's very, anyway, let's get back to IVF.
Oh, guys. Yes. We were talking about IVF. So, yes, I felt way more chill about it. It also just like felt chill yesterday. Like I just like showed up. They took my blood. He couldn't get my blood. He had to try in both arms, which was slightly annoying. Yeah,
classic Dory maneuver.
Classic Dory. You know what was funny too? I was like, I sat down and he was like, which arm, you know, should I do? And I was like, well, they're both bad. I was like, I have really small veins. And he's sort of like, and then he like started looking for a vein. He was like, oh, you do have really small veins. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, I wasn't just saying that.
I mean, sometimes hyperbole. People, you know, people at the are always in hyperbole mode.
It's like how my cervix is like Fort Knox.
Yes, and it's also like how your Henry sometimes has the biggest poop in North America.
Yeah.
Like he might not actually that day, but, you know.
It's pretty big.
Yeah.
And stinky.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I have the biggest poop in North America.
Don't we all?
Yeah. So went in, did my blood work, and then was just hanging out. They put me in the procedure room because there were 8 transfers yesterday at CFP. Even the nurses were like, this is insane.
It was slammed. I don't know. Slammed. I think CFP is single-handedly trying to make up for the birth rate decline post the pandemic here. What?
Matt has...
Pay attention to the podcast, honey, not what's happening over here.
Okay.
What? Is
it? Please don't do that.
304-yard
drive.
It's
very distracting.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway,
Dory doesn't like when computer me golfs.
We were hanging out, waiting. Matt came. They let him up early because I had a private room.
Yeah, so I had somewhere to go, which was nice.
Yeah.
I got a spot on the street right in front.
Which I feel like is auspicious.
Banner day at CFP.
Especially considering how many people were in there.
Yeah. And then I proceeded to have to get into the jumpsuit, which I put on backwards.
Deliberately.
Deliberately because, you know, the shoulders are so, like, my torso is so long.
He does have a very long torso.
That when I stand up in that jumpsuity thing... It just like rips everything, including my balls.
But I came up with the genius idea of taking off your shoes.
I don't know why I had never thought of that. Honestly, I would always put them on over my shoes. It's very silly. Anyway, so yeah, wait, got it on, put my hair bun on, hairnet thing.
Put your shoe booties on.
Shoe booties on and... You know, to Dory's brilliant plan, like, I think, you know, next time, hopefully there's no next time, but I would just probably take my shoes off, put the booties on while they're off my feet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so then we went in, and they had the embryo up on the screen, and the embryo looked weird. And I was like... I was like, what is happening? And Dr. Rock was like, oh, it hatched. And I was like, what? She was like, yeah, it hatched. She's like, that's good. That means it's viable. Like, she was very, like, matter-of-fact about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. But, like, that was kind of a big deal to us because, like, we didn't know if this embryo was going to be viable.
Yeah. And also, it's like, well, I mean, if that's, like, your sign of viability, why don't you take these questionable embryos and just wait it out and then call us in?
I don't know.
Well, I look, it did. It looked all like whoop, whoop, whoop. That's what it looked like.
Yeah, it looked like ready to party.
It was like, hey. Hey, mom and dad. Put me in.
Well, it was kind of like I've been waiting for 5 years.
I love cocaine. That's what this baby is going to be. It's going to grow up in Hollywood and be like one of these, like,
media
weirdos.
No.
We're going to end up, I'll end up in prison for trying to get it into USC because it decides it doesn't want to go to any real effort of academics. Mm. So then I pull Lori Loughlin and we'll pretend she's good at soccer. And I'll go to jail.
Okay.
But then she's going to still party.
Okay.
That's what she's going to do.
You could tell all of this from the embryo.
The way she was wiggling. Yep. The way the embryo was like. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
It did seem like excited to be out of there.
Yeah. So that's wild. Any longtime listeners of the show, anyone who's been here since the beginning, this embryo is from Ringler Batch 2.
Yeah, which was Henry's batch.
Which was the same batch Henry came from. Oh, we didn't even talk about getting the
Oh, yeah.
The re-segment testing.
So much to talk about. Or whatever,
what is it called? The
retro mosaic.
Yes.
Yeah, so when I had originally talked to the genetic counselor, she was like, we kind of realized mid-conversation that they had retromosaic the wrong batch of embryos. So she was like, okay, well, when we get the report back on this segmental embryo, you know, ideally it will be a mosaic, because then it's like even less likely that it's an issue in the entire embryo.
Right, yeah.
We didn't get that report till Thursday.
So we got it Thursday. Dory sends me an email. I was on the golf course. That's when all correspondence with Matt happened. And it was like, hey, it's a large segment. It's a, what is it? It's large?
High level mosaic.
High level mosaic.
She was like, good news. It's a high level mosaic.
So we were like, whoa. Well, I was like, whoa. I don't know what Dory was like.
I was like, phew. Like, ideal situation would have been low level mosaic, but I'll take high level mosaic. Like, better than totally abnormal.
Wait, I thought you wanted... hang on. I thought based on the sciences...
No, low level is better.
Oh. I was confused by that last week, though.
No, low level is better.
Oh. I'm not as excited anymore.
But mosaic is... Again, mosaic is better than abnormal.
Right.
So, and I think the fact that it was hatched is like a good sign. I mean, I don't know. I could just be like grasping at straws here. But I will say, between that email and then seeing it like ready to go in, I got more optimistic than I had been.
Yes. So in each instance that we've tried to put an embryo into Dory, we have seen the embryo going in. And it looks, you know, it looks, there's a cellular wall around it, and you go, oh, it's an embryo, it's an egg. It's not an egg, but it's, you know what I'm saying, everybody. There's like a clear delineation of like inside, outside. This thing was like, I'm out.
Yeah. I was like, whoa.
Kind of an uggo, but we'll see.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry,
that was rude.
I'm very rude to this. Just draining my bank account, causing us all kinds of white hair.
It could still not work.
Again, very stressful.
Yes, very stressful.
At every turn. You know?
It is stressful at every turn, I agree.
So.
But, you know, I tried to stay off my feet for 18 hours per my discharge instructions. And then until my pregnancy test, which is on the 24th. I'm not supposed to do anything strenuous, no exercise.
And let me tell you, she is living it.
I'm taking full advantage.
You're living that dream.
Yeah.
You're living like me in the pandemic last year.
Yeah. Except minus the depression.
Yeah. And Pop-Tarts.
Yeah.
So...
I forgot about the Pop-Tarts.
Not me. I remember. I needed comfort food. Yeah, I mean, it was a hectic Friday. My parents came in. What happened in the morning? Oh, like, Bo had to leave the house early. It was, you know. So anyway, getting Bo out of the house, dropping Bo off at daycare, coming back to the house. Then I recorded at 10.
I recorded at 10 also.
Dory recorded at 10. Then we had to essentially eat quickly. Then go to CFP. Meanwhile, my parents were flying in. So the retrieval's at 1:45. My parents were flying in, landing at 2.
And we had to be at CFP at 1.
Yeah, at 2:30. And then Henry had a swim lesson at 3:30.
Right.
So at one point, we got home. Henry was having a swim lesson, and my parents arrived all at the same time.
Mm-hmm. This is accurate.
It was a hectic... Yeah, I think all that hecticness... made the transfer smoother?
Yeah, it was like we weren't 100% focused on it, so it made it less stressful in a way.
Yeah, so we're juggling other things at the time. So yeah, then Dory remembered she's not supposed to lift heavy things, which includes Henry, because he's a solid, massive tyrant. And yeah, I don't know. We got a picture.
We didn't get it. We got a picture of it still unhatched, though.
Oh, we didn't get the hatched picture?
No.
I thought we did.
No, we didn't get the
hatched picture. Oh, that's wild. Picture. So it must have hatched, like, while we were on our way in.
I guess.
Hatching. An embryo. It's very strange.
I know. It's like, I'm a chicken.
Never really thought about it. But, you know, I was saying, I think Dr. Kelly Beck was, like, stoked to see me.
Oh, she definitely was.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she was. Well, because you haven't been able to come to any appointments for the last, you know.
And I used to go to every appointment.
Yeah. Did anything of note happen during the actual transfer? Oh, she had to use a different...
She had to use a stiffer catheter. And, you know, I loved it because she was, like, pointing out where she was, where her landing zone.
Yeah.
And then she stuck the landing.
She nailed it. And she's always so proud of herself.
Stuck the landing. She put it right there. I saw it go in again.
We got a picture of it in.
Yep. And sorry, on the ultrasound. And it, yeah, I don't know. There's a, you know, in 10 days we'll go get a test and see what Dory's beta levels are. It's wild. I don't understand, everyone, how this happened. I feel like someone hoodwinked me.
What?
What?
Who?
Huh?
Hi.
Uh-huh. Oh, boy.
Everything's gonna be fine.
If you've been hoodwinked into having more children, let me know in the comments below. Don't forget to ring the bell. Hit the bell icon.
Before we take a break, I just want to give everyone a quick update on the Thanks for Waiting pre-order campaign.
Thanks for Waiting pre-order campaign. Get your pre-booked now.
So there have been almost 900 registrations.
For what?
For, you know, the Forever 35 happy hour, the Excellent Adventure, bonus podcast, the PDFs.
Wait a second. You guys get to do a happy hour and we have to do a podcast?
Well, do you want ours to be a happy hour?
It's just not fair.
I just thought that was more our vibe.
Oh. We'll, like, treat it like a happy hour.
You're not really happy.
So. We'll do whatever. I'll do it from the golf course. I'll do it from the golf course. See you guys at 5:30 in the morning.
Anyway, I would love to break 1,000.
I think that's very viable.
Like, 1,000 just seems like a good, nice, round number.
I would say 900 is more than I thought that would happen in the 1 week.
I know. I'm really excited.
I would say that the audience is doing a great job so far.
I agree.
I don't think we need to coax them anymore.
Well, I'm just look, putting we're coaxing. It out there.
Please.
The other thing that I wanted to mention is we've created a special category.
Don't put any undue stress on Dory at this time.
Yeah.
Help her.
Help me.
By ordering.
Not oh, be was, stressed.
It just feels
that
gross.
That was manipulative.
It feels gross.
That was really gross.
That's exactly what that embryo is going to do. Going to manipulate both of us.
Oh, like Henry?
No, Henry's less manipulative.
Oh my God, we forgot to tell them about the new laugh.
Henry has a maniacal laugh now. That he does to himself. He does it at odd times. He does it like when he gets you to do something. And it's not like a he finds it funny laugh. It's a
maniacal laugh.
It's a yes, yes. It's like he's steepling his fingers.
Yes. Like he has a long curly mustache. It's
very, very interesting.
It's especially weird because, like, he doesn't really talk.
It does not really talk. So, but it's also like there is an affect
yes,
to it too, which
totally.
Is very interesting. And I don't know. I've never watched anything with him that had a bad, like, had a villain in it that would maniacally laugh at it. I never, not even
the
in Super
only
Wings.
Thing I can think of is the Pinocchio ride.
Yeah, but I don't think there's any laughter in it. There's no
there
maniacal
isn't?
Laughter in that. Mm. I don't think. Anyway,
it's a mystery, but very funny. Oh, so what I wanted to say is, if you are a librarian and you order Thanks for Waiting for your library, you can also come to the bonus podcast.
But if you requested it through your library, that you're doesn't not count. The librarian,
yeah.
Does not count.
You have to be the librarian. But now if you go to dory-shafrir.com/pre-order, there's a special like line for librarians.
Be the librarian.
And I just wanted to read this like lovely email from Diane M. Martin.
Diane M. Martin, long time.
Yeah. So she wrote, "Hi, Dory. I ordered the Kindle version as soon as I could. Today, I pre-ordered 4 copies of the hard copies as gifts. I am keeping a copy. I really hope that your book makes the New York Times bestseller list. You are a fantastic writer. I know your book will be a complete delight to read. I'm looking forward to seeing it show up on my Kindle. Thank you very much, Diane."
Diane M. Martin. Lovely human being.
Isn't that just the nicest
New Englander through and through?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, and sorry, one more thing before we take a break. I just wanted to give a shout out to the Egghead who emailed me and offered to buy 5 copies for listeners who couldn't afford the book.
Oh my God, that's very sweet.
Isn't that so nice? So I posted it on my Instagram story and I had people DM me, but I was like, you have to, like in your DM, you have to somehow show you're an egghead.
Mm-hmm.
So people were like, I've eaten 4 hot dogs and like.
That's it.
Yeah.
So you just got some square footage coming in. Yeah,
exactly.
That's very nice of that person.
Isn't that the nicest thing?
That is.
I was like, I'm crying.
I'm doubling it up.
I'll
do it too.
Really?
I will pre-order 5 for these people who have to be eggheads.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I will do. I'll match.
You're matching.
I'll match that listener.
Okay, so email us if you want one of Matt's copies.
No.
Oh.
I want you to do the Instagram post.
Oh, again. I'll do the Instagram post again.
But follow Dory on Instagram, at Dory.
Yeah, at Dory. Don't email us for the copies. It won't count.
I guess.
all right, we are going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
BRB. Not that. Hang on. There.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Are you ready to get active? Well, think Bombas, the better basics that take sweat wicking, blister preventing, friction-free movement seriously. Look, they finally admitted it. It's in the ad copy. Golfing is among the activities that Bombas is proud to be a part of. And nearly every time I golf, Bombas socks are a part of my golf game. In fact,
same today, for tennis. Same for tennis, oh, Matt.
I had to wear the high ones today because it was 37 degrees.
Wow. I bet you loved those soft, breathable materials.
I loved literally everything about them, including their fun bluish green color. Look,
nice.
I've been talking about Bombas forever, guys. Socks, underwear, t-shirts are the number 1, 2, and 3 most requested items in homeless shelters. And that's why for every comfy item you purchase, Bombas donates another comfy item to someone experiencing homelessness. Performance socks are made with technically advanced features like proprietary hex tech. Oh, that makes sense now that the hex is stitched in there. Mm-hmm. Oh, it incorporates sweat wicking.
See, the light bulb's
yarns.
Going off.
Supportive strategic zone cushioning, built-in ventilation to increase airflow. Bombas are a gym bag staple that are made to last and a golf bag staple. And if they experience any wear or tear, Bombas will replace them for life. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Hold the phone.
Wow.
But I was like, I got to get some socks replaced. And then I realized none of them are in need of replacement. Their performance socks are very colorful and comfortable, and you'll want to wear them even when you're not working out or hitting the links. No matter how you like to get active, Bombas has something for you. Gripper socks to help you stay balanced in Pilates and bar, or Dory's dad, whose favorite thing is socks that have grippers on the bottom. Left, right foot contoured running socks give you perfect fit that won't slide in your shoe. Merino wool socks keep you comfy and supported all day while on the course, baby. Bombas is 100% happiness guarantee. That means you're covered for life. Reach out anytime. Their happiness team will help facilitate easy returns, exchanges, or replacements. Go to bombas.com/adventure. Use the code adventure for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/adventure and use the code adventure at checkout. Hey everybody, welcome back to the show.
Hello. We just had dinner with Matt's parents.
Yep, we did. All just a little reminiscing about all of the time in the hospitals as an infant for me.
Yep, it was pretty fun.
And then one story my dad tells that makes me laugh.
Matt was laughing
so hard.
Tears were coming out of your eyes.
Yep. I don't think anyone else will laugh at this.
It's not that funny.
It's very funny to me. It's just, look, I'm going to tell it.
Okay.
My dad had kidney stones when I was 7 months old. I was upstairs on the fifth floor of St. John's Hospital in Lowell, Massachusetts. And my dad was admitted, and on the fourth floor, and he would get up and antsy and wander around. Now, at the time, my dad's 32 years old. So, he's just, maybe he's 33. But anyway, point is, he's like, got this this roommate in the hospital that he, you know, talks to here and there. And dad's so antsy, he goes out all the time, wanders the halls in his hospital gown with his IV. Anyway, he said that one day the guy next to him started coughing, and my dad calls it, he exploded. The guy exploded. Someone passed away. Anyway, coughed so much that, like, stuff came out, hit the ceiling. Just the idea, so this concept of my dad, like, having to go tell nurses that his patient in the room with him exploded. And that all the while his son is 7 months old and upstairs in the hospital that his wife is at also because she works on the fifth floor in pediatrics as a nurse. And then he wanders up to see me and tells the nurses up there that his roommate exploded. Oh my God. So horribly funny to me. I don't know why. I'm sorry, everyone. If you've had anyone explode, right in. Okay. And well, we're back on track.
I did want to remind everyone that our email is dorianmatt@gmail.com and mattanddory@gmail.com, and our phone number is 413-461-BABY.
Yes, that's true.
So please use both of them. And we're actually going to start with a voicemail.
Okay. Go ahead.
All right. Here we go.
Hey, Matt and Dory. This is Anna, longtime listener, first-time caller. I was just listening to your most recent podcast, and I felt like I should probably call in and just kind of give another side of the coin for whether you should transfer these abnormal embryos. I'm a pediatric emergency room doctor. I'm also a mom. I do not have any special needs children. But I think it probably bears to the, it's come up before, but you might want to really look into what the possibility is of, a trisomy 15 baby, of being a genetically normal baby. I think you have already. But I think it's easy to downplay how difficult it would be to have a special needs child unless you're someone who's kind of faced with it every day, and also how much it could affect Henry's quality of life. I just work in an emergency department. I know, families love their children who are special needs just as much as their children who are genetically normal, but it comes with some really, really significant challenges that, again, unless you're seeing these kids come in the emergency department with seizures or feeding tube problems, it's easy to say, oh, it'll all turn out okay. So I just would hate for you guys not to get the good counseling about how challenging that could be, and before you make the decision to transfer mitochondria that you know to be genetically abnormal. I thought I was going to have to do some fertility stuff. I did not end up having to do it, but I feel like if I were in your shoes, or, you know, I even got chromosomes done when I had my second child and in utero because I was available then, if I had had a mosaic with some trisomy or something, I'm not sure if I would have gone on with that pregnancy, just because I'd be concerned about the effects on my older child's quality of life. So anyway, I'm probably going to get cut off. Wish you guys all the best and everything. And I just kind of, this is not the happiest or most uplifting message. I just kind of felt like I would be remiss if nobody had called in and kind of talked to you about that yet and really said, do the hard work of thinking, do you want to transfer genetically a normal baby? Or do you want to, maybe, I know, you don't want to do another round, but think about other options. All right. All the best.
Thank you for that voicemail. We have thought about all this stuff and,
and, no, well, I mean, obviously it's something to consider for
yeah,
sure.
I mean, and that was part of the reason why we felt comfortable transferring the segmental, because they said that the deletion was large, which meant that it either wasn't going to survive or it was going to be normal. She said, section missing in the sample is quite large. We can never be 100% sure, but any birth report I ever look at, yes, there's bits that are missing, but it's smaller bits that are missing. Since the deletion is so big, there is no birth report of that. If it's going on for the embryo and if it is actually truly within the embryo, it just wouldn't take. Now, this is an interesting new piece of knowledge. We don't write it on the reports, but it's part of the general knowledge. Comparing segmental changes versus whole chromosome missing. If I got a section missing versus a whole chromosome missing, how concordant is the inside to the PGTA result? Is my PGTA result reflective of what's going on inside? We do see that segmental changes are less concordant than what's going on inside, whereas a whole chromosome missing is more likely to be true inside. She said it's better if she's... Right here, she says it's better if it's low-level mosaic. But we can't be completely clairvoyant. What we can say, let's say best-case scenario, it's such a big deletion, it's not associated with a known genetic condition. So if it does take and you get pregnant, it is very unlikely that the embryo would survive, that I would have a live birth with a birth defect, because it's basically not survivable, that big of a deletion.
Right. Who's next? Now that Dory and Matt's section is done from our email lists,
I think we should take another break.
Already?
Yeah.
It's been a long, we haven't even gotten to another email.
I know.
We didn't even get to an email, period.
I know.
We got to a voicemail.
I know.
Be right back.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi.
Okay, we're back.
We are.
Here's a email from Rochelle.
What is going on with you?
What? I'm reading emails. I want to move on.
.org.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, look, if you want to move on, there's one way to do that, and that is pre-ordering Dory's book. What better way to move on than to read the life of someone who some consider a late bloomer? Some things are worth waiting for, but one of them is not Dory's book. Pre-order it now. Thanks. Wait, no, it should be worth waiting for, but like, why wait for it when you can pre-order it now? That's what I meant to say.
Thank you.
That's a better phrase.
Okay.
Yeah. Otherwise, I'd be like, well, it's not worth waiting for. But it is.
Okay.
Pre-order it.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody.
All right. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Don't forget to go to Dory's tree, right?
What?
Link tree. go to Dory's Tree. And
no, now you just go to my website.
What?
Yeah.
You don't have a link tree anymore?
I do have a link tree, but it's easier to just go to my website. But the link tree will lead you to my website.
What is your website?
It's dory-shafrir.com.
dory-shafrir.com. It is the dash character, not the word dash.
Correct.
All right. I just want to be sure.
Yep.
And there, people could do all kinds of things. Check out some new photos.
Yeah.
Check out some recent blogs.
What?
And find links to the show.
Okay, let's move on. This is from Rochelle. Hey guys, I'm answering the embryo donation signal. I'm a recipient of donor embryos, and I have to say it has been the best thing that's ever happened to my husband and me. After 3 years of unexplained infertility, 3 rounds of IVF, 4 failed transfers, and 2 miscarriages, my husband and I had lost all hope. We couldn't afford private adoption, and my husband wasn't able to handle the risk of fostering to adopt because of the possibility of having the child be given back to their birth family. This almost happened to his sister. We threw our last hope into receiving donor embryos, and I'm now the proud mama of an 8-month-old baby boy from the very first transfer. He's the absolute light of my life. It was surprisingly easy to privately match with people on Facebook, which is honestly the best place to connect with the community. I found that agencies usually make the process more complicated than necessary and charge an unreasonable fee. We went through an intermediary, PVED, that matched us because we were looking specifically for PGS-tested embryos after our miscarriages. It's a pretty simple process. You'll have lawyers who drop and approve contracts. Most clinics have a procedure for receiving embryos, so they usually coordinate the logistics of shipping. Then there are some FDA-required blood tests and a session with a reproductive psychologist just to make sure both parties understand the process. The receiving family...
I feel like that should be more often...
pays for everything, and it came out to less than $10,000 for us. We have an open relationship with the donors, and they are so wonderful. We send pictures and updates via email, and they send encouragement and support. I tell other people it's like getting to choose people to add to your extended family. Their donation has changed our lives forever. I know it's not easy to switch gears and think about embarking on embryo donation, but it really has been a pretty straightforward and easy process, especially considering how complicated IVF is in the first place. I recommend for anyone considering donating or receiving embryos to go browse some of the embryo donation Facebook groups and just see what it's like. It's really been an amazing experience for us at the end of a really difficult infertility struggle. Thank you for spreading awareness about this option. I have all kinds of emotions about y'all going through another transfer, so I can only imagine what you're feeling. My fingers are crossed for you. That is from Rochelle in 2,000 square feet in Louisiana with a husband, baby, and dog. No hot dogs in the past year. Sorry.
I accept your apology. But only just.
Rochelle, thank you for sharing your experience.
I think everyone should see a reproductive psychologist.
Probably.
I really think that that is a useful thing. Probably.
Yeah.
Everybody. I'm talking, you know, teens.
Okay.
To late 30s, early 40s podcasters.
You want to see a reproductive psychologist?
I feel like I am one now.
Oh. Okay.
Come see me.
You would. Okay, yeah. That should be, yep, be a good career change for
Look,
you.
Look, I think as long as.
I'm going to become a genetic
as
counselor.
As long as you don't explode, I think you're good.
Okay. Might explode from frustration.
Well, right back at you.
Okay, thank you.
She keeps tapping me on the shoulder. You can all hear it audibly, right? It's very strange.
All right. This is from Amanda. Hi there, Dory, Matt, Henry, and Beau. I thought I could offer my experience with Vasa Previa in case it is helpful to the listener. And it is a relatively rare complication, though I was told it is slightly more prevalent in IVF cases since the embryo is placed in from the bottom and may implant lower than a spontaneous pregnancy. I was diagnosed with Vasa Previa, which is a condition in which the umbilical cord vessels are located across or very near the cervical opening and pose a risk of rupturing if labor occurs. Around 20 weeks with my IVF son in late 2018. In my case, it was actually caught by an MFM who I was seeing for a fetal echocardiogram.
Motherfucking medical doctor.
What is wrong?
Remember
with
that
you?
Last I do, week? I do remember time. That. I tried to get her to name the podcast that. She did not.
As recommended, due to it being an IVF pregnancy, the regular OB clinic I was seeing did not do a transvaginal ultrasound and it was not seen. Anyway, the MFM ordered weekly transvaginal ultrasounds to keep an eye on things. These included the color Doppler, yes, Matt, a real thing, which just shows the blood flow throughout the uterus and umbilical cord. I was required to be admitted to the hospital at 30 weeks in case of an emergency, and a C-section was scheduled for 34 weeks. My son spent 15 days in the NICU for breathing and eating difficulty, but that was to be expected. Admittedly, this was all a significant departure from the birthing center, non-medicated, home in 6 hours delivery I was hoping for, but in hindsight, I'm just grateful to have a healthy child. On to my question. We are about to start an FET cycle for a second baby in a week or so. Based on the way the calendar is shaping up, I will be needing to do my first beta test in the middle of a short trip to visit my parents out of state. All involved are fully vaccinated, 9 days past the transfer. The clinic said they would just write me a lab order to have blood drawn there, but I'm wondering if I really need to bother. My parents live in a tiny town that would be a bit of a drive to the lab, and we don't really want to tell them that we just did an FET. Other than my own sanity, would it be so bad to skip the first beta and perhaps just pee on a stick instead?
No.
Does that test provide information that would change anything about the days until the 12-day beta, for which I will be home? If anyone has advice, I'd love to hear it. Wishing you all the best in your upcoming FET. Looking forward to thanks for waiting. I've got the audiobook and the ebook on pre-order. Oh, thank you. Cheers, Amanda, in 2,000 square feet in Austin, Texas, with a 3,900 square foot house under construction. Purchased just in time to avoid skyrocketing lumber prices.
I'll tell you, that house, that new house, can hold a lot of copies of Thanks for Waiting.
Well, she got the audiobook and the ebook, so they don't take up any space.
What I'm saying is, come on.
She has a husband, a two-year-old, and an African gray parrot.
Is that a talkative bird?
I don't know.
I don't either.
A few turkey dogs in 2021, but not sure how many.
Turkey dogs almost count. Thank you.
Amanda, the only thing I would say is that if you do choose to skip your first beta and you pee on a stick, continue your medication no matter what the pee on the stick result is. If it doesn't look like you're pregnant, continue your medication. You might still be pregnant. If it says you're pregnant, continue your medication.
I'm flashing back to when Dory peed on a stick the first time.
Yeah.
Even though we had discussed it at length, and mm-hmm. we weren't going to mm-hmm. do that, but she got up and did it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
just a horrible person.
It's nice to be included occasionally in.
Oh boy!
In our lives.
Here we go.
Hey, look, your body, your choice. You want to pee on a stick? Go for it. Anyway, but I think also, yeah, you're probably gonna drive yourself crazy if you don't.
Do you have to go then?
Yeah, I guess that's a follow-up question. Does your trip have to be then? I'm going to assume it does. Otherwise, you would have written into this email that you could move the trip. So your trip does. It would be far away to drive to get another lab done. I'd get the lab done.
I mean, I would too.
I would make up an excuse.
Yeah.
For like, you know, maybe you and your husband are going to roller skating rink? Driving range?
Oh boy.
Golf course? Or golf. Do you guys golf? That's a nice excuse.
That's a long
That's a, like a 4-hour outing.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well.
Yes, dear.
Here's an email from, we got, you know, we heard from quite a few people about the color Doppler.
Does anyone explain how it works?
Yes, Leah okay, does. Great.
Leah, let's hear it.
I wrote in previously about the pod inspiring me to pursue my interest in becoming a gestational carrier. I'm also a labor and delivery nurse. Happy Nurses Week to Mary Myra.
Well, happy Nurses Week, Mary Myra.
And wanted,
she's telling us a lot of stories about being a nurse.
She did. And wanted to have a quick explanation of a color Doppler mentioned this past week in reference to monitoring vasoprevia. A color flow Doppler is used to visualize blood flow. The colors indicate the speed and direction of the blood flow. This type of ultrasound study is typically used in any sort of placental or umbilical cord abnormality, or if there is a concern for fetal growth, is the fetus getting enough oxygen/nutrients? As another writer mentioned, vasoprevia often necessitates an antepartum stay in the hospital, something that would be particularly stressful now due to visitor restrictions. I recommend linen from home, comfy gowns that allow for monitoring, and the ability to stream TV and movies. Most of us have acquired skills in conference calls and video hangouts during the pandemic, which could also be helpful in retaining sanity during an extended hospital stay. Wishing you all the best with the upcoming transfer and looking forward to thanks for waiting as a fellow late bloomer, Leah, in 1,750 square feet in Oceanside, California, with a spouse and 5-year-old, 0 hot dogs for me, but probably about 10 for my daughter, who insists on eating them cold. Shudder.
They're already cooked. Don't worry.
Did that answer all of your questions?
Yes, in a way. I mean, I'm still curious about the... please don't yell at my curiosity again.
I don't...
Whoa, calm down. This is fun. Let's play Dory Bingo. You're turning into Patty and Selma. Mm-hmm. So it's just based... So the speed, the blood flow speed. So it's like watching a traffic map is what you're saying.
Sure.
Green is good.
Sure.
Red is bad.
Okay.
But because it's blood, maybe it's reversed. Red is good because blood is red.
Okay.
And then green is bad.
Sure.
Because green blood would probably be bad.
Yeah.
Unless you're a Vulcan.
Okay. We got a voicemail about this also.
Okay.
Here we go.
Hi, Matt and Dory. This is your friendly neighborhood vascular surgeon calling in to tell you that color Doppler is absolutely not BS. It's real. You basically look at the Doppler shift and all the little blood cells, and you assign red as away and blue as two.
So you're assigning the colors.
Watch the blood flow on an ultrasound. It's something that you add on to an ultrasound and have a window of information where you look at the... Anyway, the point is that it's absolutely real. It's not BS, and it's the way we look at blood flow and blood vessels in vascular surgery and in OB-GYN. Anyway, just wanted to say hi and clarify.
Hi.
And thanks for all you've done. I swear my 9-month-old science baby recognizes your voices from all of the drives to and from the hospital on call. Listening to the podcast over the years. So thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. So that's the real. That's
so
the answer I was looking
everything
for.
Everything is cleared up.
Everything is so much cleared up. Because in my mind... Hi, welcome to More Hypotheticals with Matt.
Oh, boy.
In my mind, I was saying, like, how does it assign the colors? Mm-hmm. But the user assigns the colors, which makes so much more sense to me. So thank you for that. Thank you all very much.
Okay.
What is the matter with me?
I don't know, but a lot.
I don't know. Look, my parents are in town, so things are weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the matter? Are you still upset about how much I laughed at the guy exploding
story?
No,
that was funny because it made me laugh how much you were laughing. I'm more just like, I don't know.
What?
I don't know.
You're nothing. Just ready for your birthday to come?
Sure.
Guys, if you're listening to this on Sunday, it's Dory's birthday. The anniversary of the day that Roberta gave birth to her. Let us all thank Roberta. Roberta, we say your name. Okay.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of the show. We have some Patreon supporters we need to thank.
I like that. I like them.
You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/excellentadventure. We really appreciate all the support and love. And if you support us at the $5 level or above, you get the Patreon episodes, you get the back catalog, and you get your name read on the podcast each month, which, I mean, is pretty cool.
That's right. So thanks to the following people. Silicon Stan.
What?
I don't have my glasses on. What does that say?
Oh, my God. Do you guys see what
Sabrina
I have to put
Stern.
Up with? Sadie Massa.
Sarah Toberman.
Sarah Prager.
Sarah Friedman.
Sarah Swift.
Sherry Olson.
SJV.
Steve Harcourt.
Tanya Kershemin.
The Holderman Clan.
The Kembles.
Tracy Jury.
Whitney Hoffman.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 anonymous.
Ainsley.
Sorry, everybody. Bradley Johnson.
Brianne Hudson.
Cheryl Quick.
Christina.
Claire Dealey.
Crescent Martin.
Crypto Matt.
Danielle Nusiforo.
Deanna McLean.
Ellen F.
Aaron Soares.
Freya.
Gita Drury.
Jane Ennis.
Jennifer Sika.
Jennifer T. Brennan.
Jenny Vick.
Jesse Labadie.
Oh, I like that name. It's very melodic. La ba dee da 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 da. You know that song?
Mm-hmm.
Janan H.
And Joanna Reinwald.
We have done it. One more podcast in the books.
Yep. Okay.
I mean, should we high five now?
No.
Let's do it.
I gotta go. Bye.
Bye, everyone.